Blackstone Publishing presents Blood and Ivy, The 1849 Murder That Scandalized Harvard by Paul Collins. This book is read by Kevin Kennerly. For Richard and Shirley Thick, with gratitude for all your help. And this is good old Boston, the home of the bean and the cod, where the Lowells talk to the Cabots, and the Cabots talk only to God. John Collins Bossidy, 1910. A note on the text. The coverage of this case, including a multitude of newspaper accounts, letters, journals, court transcripts, and memoirs, allowed me to draw on many eyewitness sources. All dialogue and quotation marks comes directly from their accounts. Lines rendered without quotation marks are paraphrased. While I have freely edited out verbiage from quotations, not a word has been added. PC. Prologue. January 5th, 1868. It was a miserable new year. The holidays should have been a delight for Charles Dickens. He was on a triumphant stage tour of the United States, his first in 25 years. To welcome him back to America, Boston threw off all its customary reserve. The city, the poet Henry Longfellow marveled, was Dickenized. Its streets swept for his arrival, and store shelves stuffed with copies of Great Expectations and David Copperfield. The 8,000 tickets for his first four shows sold out in hours. Protected from his fans by his entourage, "Our men sit outside the room door and wrestle with mankind," Dickens reported. He paced about a suite at the Parker Hotel, musing at the strangeness of it all. Boston was hardly the place he'd left behind in 1842. "The city has increased enormously in 25 years, he wrote to his daughter. "It has grown more mercantile. It is like Leeds, but for smoke and fog, you substitute an exquisitely bright, light air." And it had only one catch. The cost of living is enormous. This was not for lack of Americans offering to host him. Even after carefully limiting his social engagements to his old literary friends, he spent his days in a whirl of lunches and dinners with the likes of Longfellow, Emerson, and Oliver Wendell Holmes. True, their numbers were diminished by the losses of Thoreau and Hawthorne, and Longfellow's leonine mane had given way to a long white beard worthy of Father Christmas. Yet the poet found Dickens much the same as when he'd last seen him. "So many years, 25. He looks somewhat older, but as elastic and quick in his movements as ever." Dickens's manner of coping with his fame also remained unchanged. He walked away from it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?